Out with the old guard, in with Lagarde. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams, in for David Brancaccio. Christine Lagarde, head of the International Monetary Fund, is the new choice to take over the European Central Bank. If confirmed, she'll take over the job from Mario Draghi, who focused on easing monetary policy, that is, lowering interest rates. Europe is facing political challenges, as well as slowing growth and a rift with the U.S. For more on this, I'm joined by Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Good morning.
Good morning.
Bond interest rates in Germany fell after the Lagarde announcement. What's behind that?
There's no expectation that she will come in charging hard, wanting to raise interest rates. In fact, it's quite the opposite. They think that she'll continue with that soft policy and potentially even lower interest rates. And the German bond yield is reflecting that.
Bond yields in the U.S. are down, too. The 10-year interest rate is below 2% for the first time since 2016. Is there something similar happening?
Well, it's hard to have one interest rate be so disconnected from the other. We're all interrelated globally. The market largely expects that we're going to get a rate decrease at the next Fed meeting. And in addition, President Trump has just nominated two more people to join the Federal Reserve Board, and both of those are seen as being very dovish, i.e. supportive of lower interest rates.
Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities for Aviva Investors. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll hazard a guess that if you bought any fireworks ahead of the 4th of July holiday, they were probably manufactured in China. The U.S. turns to China for over 90% of its fireworks, which happened to be on the $300 billion list of goods President Trump threatened with a 25% tariffs. After last weekend's trade truce, those tariffs are on hold. And as Marketplace's Justin Ho reports, the fireworks industry in the U.S. is breathing a sigh of relief, for now.
At Wyoming Fireworks Warehouse in Cheyenne, co-owner Nate McDonald sells all kinds of fireworks, everything from smoke balls to Roman candles and bottle rockets. His best sellers?
Oh, by far, it's artillery shells. People love those things.
Little balls of gunpowder you fire out of a tube. And like most fireworks, they're Chinese-made.
There is no other source that we could substitute for China.
That's Bill Weimer, vice president of Phantom Fireworks, an Ohio-based retailer with shops in 15 states. Over 99% of the fireworks he sells are from China, and he says firework retailers like his would have little choice if imports get hit with a new tariff.
We couldn't possibly absorb 25% and stay in business, so we'd have to pass it on to the consumer.
And that could hurt sales in a booming business. The American Pyrotechnics Association estimates consumers will spend over $1 billion on fireworks this year. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
American families have borrowed about $1.6 trillion to pay for college, and that number keeps growing. And there's some new data out on why college debt is growing so quickly. Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, has been looking into this. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So part of the reason college debt is growing is because tuition is getting pricier. What's driving that?
Part of my initial reaction, Kimberly, is how much time do we have? But I want to emphasize an underappreciated factor, and it's the decline in state subsidies over the past few decades. I mean, much of the blame really lies at the feet of state legislatures and governors, because politicians, they love to proclaim an educated, a skilled workforce is critical to state economic growth. Yet many states over the past quarter century have been cutting back their support of public universities.
Often when we're thinking about pricey college degrees, we think about private colleges like a Georgetown or a Princeton or something like that. But you're saying that this is pushing up prices at public and state universities.
Absolutely. And the public and state universities are absolutely critical to higher education in the U.S. They enroll 77% of all undergraduates. And there's a recent study by four economists. And what they found is that declining state funding has pushed most public universities to raise tuition. Many of them rely on tuition as their main source of revenue. So no big surprise that one effect is this increased reliance on student loans.
What worries you more, this defunding of higher education at the public universities or the student loans that people are taking out to pay for their education regardless of where they go?
No one knows what the jobs of the future are going to be. Where will be the demand? But we do know that having a ready supply of well-educated workers means that you're going to have the kind of folks that can, you know, adjust to new demands and learn new techniques. And the economists have found declining state support for public universities will have a long-term negative consequence on the supply of skilled workers with college degrees and, perhaps most importantly, on workforce productivity, because productivity, that is the foundation of higher living standards.
Any chance that this is going to change anytime soon?
You know, the whole student loan issue has entered into the presidential campaign. And so my hope is that we have a broader discussion and we start bringing the states into this conversation and say, look, you're relying too much on student loans. How else are you going to fund a college education?
Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
And in Washington, D.C., I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.